We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues, etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, February the 28th, we are taking a little time to go through your email to us, our listeners' email, and some of your comments on the Issues, Etc. comment line. Our email address, always open to you, our listeners, talkback@issuesetc.org. We appreciate all the email that we get. We don't have an opportunity to respond to all of it, but we like to take some time to do as much as we can occasionally. That's talkback@issuesetc.org and the Issues Etc. listener comment line 24/7 for your questions, comments, show suggestions, criticisms, whatever you want to say. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382.
When visiting my newly cleaned office, is there anything you've noticed in particular, Wilkin?
You mean after you cleaned your office?
And organized, yes.
Let's see. There's a lot more floor space.
This is most certainly true.
So it's easier. A lot more shelf space.
We can see the walls.
Yeah, you can
see the walls, Craig said.
I can see the surface of your desk, more or less. You see, I just remember the days, the old days in our pre-incarnate form when we worked for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. I don't think you ever cleaned your office there. And it had to be seen to be believed. The piles of paper, the apparent disorganization, which was actually, I guess, some sort of brilliant form of filing, that free-form filing that didn't require cabinet shelves or any kind of filing system.
Let me just interject, and I apologize for my voice. I'm getting over a really, really bad cold, but I hope you can understand what I say. When I think it was once a year when Jeff Schwartz cleaned his office. Wasn't that just right around the time when we had open house or something like that?
Oh, yeah, we used to have open houses.
Yeah, but all I did, first of all, let me defend myself.
It's not that Jeff is a very neat guy. He's
no, not really.
Guy.
I can be. Clutter doesn't bother me greatly.
There's not trash. It's not like he's got pizza box.
But this is pre-internet.
It's not Craig.
No, it's stuff related to my job, right? Not
all
to
related
food.
To your job. Yes.
Okay. So this is pre-internet at our previous place of employment for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, right? So we had articles. Let's say we had an article on Kwanzaa, okay? And we interviewed this person on Kwanzaa. Well, I needed to be filed because, I mean, Kwanzaa is going to come up every year and this gal was a really good guest, right? So I needed some kind of system to remember who was the person that we had on Kwanzaa. When Kwanzaa comes, we need to get that person back on again. So we had no clerical help or anything like that. So I had to keep these articles because the internet now, you just Google Christian Research Journal Kwanzaa and I'd find the column right away. So I had to keep those things. Now, in regards to the open houses they'd have once a year at our former place of employment, all I did was hide it in the closet.
Yeah, I remember
in
that.
In the closet? If anybody opened the closet, somebody visiting, stuff would have just fallen out all over them. You know? So I would just like sit there and like just pray nobody like actually opens a closet door because all kinds of papers and things would have been coming out of there. But anyway,
I'm trying to think of what I've noticed in your office.
Well, on the wall, I have my 2018 goals.
Have you noticed that?
You haven't noticed that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I've got them on there. And one of the goals was to clean my office. Done, right?
Yeah, but I think you cleaned it right before.
No, it was the new year.
It was not a coincidence with someone coming
over
here?
It was in the last couple of weeks because our treasurer, Julie Johnson, our accountant, comes in on Thursdays. And I was so excited to show her this new office, and she didn't come in for a couple of weeks, and she finally came in last Thursday. And I must say, I didn't get that great a response from her. I was a little disappointed.
I don't think she's.
I kind of want to go dirty it up again. but also that's one of the goals, was to clean my office. But another one was to do email and comment line more regularly.
And why is that? It's not because you love doing it.
Because you keep telling me to. and because it's important to be interactive with our listeners and respond to them.
And we have a terrible response rate.
Yes. Well, and you're a great pastor, and you offer great pastoral advice. So why not offer that to free of charge to our listeners? So thus we're doing. This is last Wednesday we did it. Email, comment line, and here we are again today. So it's just part of my 2018, one of my 2018 goals.
Plus it chews up time between in empty spaces in our schedule.
So. This is true. All right. This comes from Lanthier. He's responding to your interview series with Dr. Kirk Clayton on vocational apologetics. Dr. Clayton presents a thesis of confusion with his so-called vocational apologetics. Apologetics is intellectual by definition. He is promoting the second table of the law as though it were a method of argumentation. Vocation theology does not reduce to that. It is loving neighbor and carrying out our work in the world. It isn't necessarily sacrificial. He repackages the deeds not creeds cliche as though it were a legitimate creed. The playing of action against thought, truth against love, is an old trick that no Lutheran pastor should be trying on public radio. Besides, he confuses persuasion with argumentation. Synonyms for persuasion run all the way from seduction, marketing to prostitution, all of which are presented in the world as love. Nice try, doctor, but I'm just not that stupid. Thanks for the feedback, Lanthier.
Well, I would suggest that you go back and listen again to both of the parts that we have done so far. We got a third part coming up in which we're going to focus more intently on vocation as a method of apologetics. Listen more carefully, because what you will discover there is that the way you've characterized Dr. Clayton's presentation is not entirely fair. He has never pitted truth, persuasion against truth, and in any way, he actually speaks very highly of evidential apologetics and of the intellectual side of apologetics. This is actually not a distinction that is original with Dr. Clayton. It goes to both Dr. John Warwick Montgomery and to Craig Parton. Both of them are also regular guests of the program and apologists in their own right, world-class apologists in their own right. And I think it's been attributed to Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, where he talks about there's an apologetics for the strong-headed, and there's an apologetics for the tender-hearted. So there are different methods of apologetics that are complementary to one another. They don't exclude one another. And I think that's exactly what Dr. Clayton is saying. He's saying that there's been a much ignored part, not alternative, but part of Christian apologetics, which is the Christian vocation. Now, if one of the major myths regarding Christianity in America today is that Christianity has been harmful to people, it has oppressed people, it has engendered hate and bigotry in people, it's been bad for society and civilization. And I think that is one of the major myths in America about Christianity, both in history and now, that Christianity is essentially the source of hate and violence and all sorts of terrible things. There are two different ways that you can attempt to defend against that accusation, after apologetics being a defense. You can demonstrate from history that, on the whole, this is false. That, on the whole, the influence and the contribution of Christianity and Christians to civilization have not only been positive, but have actually been proactive in working good for neighbors and being good for society in general. The influence of Christian thought has brought us things like a free republic and all of those kinds of things. You can also, here in real time, demonstrate by the way that you love, serve, and interact with your neighbor that that claim is false. And that's what Dr. Clayton is suggesting, that we don't forget in our attempts to engage in kind of the intellectual side of apologetics, that we do not neglect the place of Christian vocation in an apologetic method. It's not an argument per se. It's not even attempt to be persuasive per se. It's just simply Christians living out of love for their neighbor. That's why I asked him in the last episode we did with him, that, you know, there could be a cynical approach to this, which is, I'm simply going to serve my neighbor because it serves as an apologetic for Christianity. I don't really care about my neighbor. And he said, absolutely not. The Christian serves his neighbor for the neighbor's sake, not for the sake of apologetics. The apologetical force of it is a byproduct, one that we really should not ignore or neglect any longer. So I think that's been the case with here. So please, if you would, go back and listen to the two previous episodes. I think you've mischaracterized unfairly what Dr. Clayton has to say. And then stick around and listen to the third episode on Christian apologetics, when we focus on the apologetics of Christian vocation.
Hi, my comments are in regard to Scott Klusendorf and his segment regarding pro-life versus whole life. I thought Dr. Klusendorf really missed the point. No one is asking the pro-life movement to do anything beyond address abortion issues. No one's asking them to do anything else. The thing that's being asked is that the message of the pro-life movement, the message, not that they do anything beyond focusing on abortion, but the message is consistent, right? So if we care about American citizens who are pregnant and babies in the womb, that we also are consistent and say that we care about refugee mothers and babies in and out of the womb and immigrant mothers in and out of the womb and other life issues. Instead of attacking whole life approach, which I do consider myself to be, I'm very much believer of life begins at conception and someone's right to life until God decides to take it. I'm very much supportive of all that, which is, again, very consistent with the pro-life. I just like the term whole life because I feel like it's more inclusive. I also believe that the pro-life movement needs to be consistent in their message when it comes to adoption. So when adoptees ask for their rights, access to their records and knowledge of who they are and their original birth certificates, also called an OBC, that the pro-life movement doesn't fight them on that, that the pro-life movement supports them. Again, that goes to the consistency in the message, which I unfortunately don't see very consistent in the overall pro-life message. Again, the birth clinics around, I'm sure, are doing great work and got no issue with that, but the broader pro-life movement, sometimes the message gets a little skewed, and we just want to make sure that the message of loving life at all stages in and out of the womb until God decides to take life is consistent. I do not think whole life is something to be maligned in the way that Dr. Klusendorf maligned it. Thank you.
Well, first of all, you stated there that no one is telling pro-lifers to do something more than advocate for the unborn. And I think that Scott Klusendorf documented rather well in two articles that we were talking about there, he documented the fact that there are people within the pro-life movement who are saying you are not pro-life unless you do XYZ in addition to advocating for the unborn. The one that he mentioned was John Pavlovitz, who has written a book to the effect and has actually written a piece recently, about a year ago, titled I Wish You Really Were Pro-Life, in which he castigates pro-lifers for advocating for the unborn and not doing, he has a list of about 11 or 12 things that he says you have to do in order to really be pro-life, which he says I really am. One of the most sanctimonious pieces I have ever read in all my life from someone who claims to be pro-life, who is essentially saying, well, you can't simply advocate for the unborn, you have to equally advocate for all these other issues as well. So there are people who are telling pro-lifers that they have to do something more than advocate for the unborn to be really, truly pro-life, and he documents it in both of those articles. And then the other one is, I think, one of the arguments that he made. I'm going to modify his argument a little bit, and that is, we need to prioritize. Everybody prioritizes. Whatever your cause is, everybody prioritizes. And if we're going to advocate for any cause in the public square, one needs to set priorities. Which is most important? Which is of secondary importance? Which can wait a while? So here's my illustration. I'm kind of spinning off an illustration that Scott Klusendorf uses himself. The illustration that he uses is a guy walks by and finds a house on fire and a child is trapped inside. He climbs in, risks life and limb, brings the child out at his own peril, and then is immediately met by a cadre of people telling him that if he really cared about that child's life, he would see to it this child gets a college education and a good breakfast every morning and all these things. No other cause, and here's the point, no other cause other than pro-life are we told that we have to do a whole list of other things in order to really, if we really cared about that child. Here's my tweak on his illustration. There are two houses. In house A, there's a child who we know will go without breakfast today and maybe even tomorrow in the for the foreseeable future, and that's not a good thing. In house B, there's a child, and the house is on fire. Everybody prioritizes. What is any honest, well-meaning citizen going to do when faced with that dilemma? You've got a child who is in need here of getting proper nutrition, and will be for the foreseeable future. And next door, you got a child who's in immediate danger for his life. Everybody prioritizes. Which one calls for more immediate action, a setting of a greater priority? The child who is in immediate danger of losing his or her life. You go and you save the child who's in the burning house. The kid who is going to go out without breakfast, while that is a genuine need that Christians need to address, that kid can wait for a few minutes. Right? You don't go in and whip up some scrambled eggs and bacon for the child who needs breakfast when next door there's a child in a house that's burning down. Abortion is of a greater moral caliber than all the other issues that pro-lifers are being told they have to also be concerned about in order to be truly pro-life. It simply is. It's a matter of life and death. This is not to say that pro-lifers don't care about the child who goes without breakfast or the child who is adopted or any of those things. In fact, I don't know of any pro-lifers who say, all I care about is protecting children until they're born. And then I don't care about anything anymore. I've never met a pro-lifer who says that. That is a completely false caricature of pro-lifers. I mean, in response to your particular concerns, I think the pro-life movement is remarkably consistent in caring about life from beginning to end. From the beginning of life to the end of life, and life at every point in between, which is why we often, what is our tagline here, Jeff? Defending life from beginning to end. We did that not only because it encompasses all of the issues that have to do with protecting life and its intrinsic value. It sets as a priority the protection of life wherever we find that life. But again, you prioritize. The child that's going to go without breakfast needs our care, but the one who needs our care more immediately and more urgently and more in a more organized way is the child who's in the house about to lose their life, or in the case, as is often so the case, in the womb about to lose their life. When we come back, we'll have more of your listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This Lent, as you reflect on your chocolate and caffeine dependence, take a few moments to examine your reading habits, too. Are you feeding your soul on a diet of clickbait and tabloid fluff? Why not try a magazine with real spiritual substance? The Lutheran Witness brings the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture right to you during Lent and throughout the year. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam, but no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. I had mentioned before the break a couple articles by Scott Klusendorf. By the way, if you want to read some of the most concise, some of the most well thought out, some of the best articulated articles in the pro-life realm, they're going to come from the pen of Scott Klusendorf, which is why we're very proud to have him speaking at our conference coming up this summer. But the two articles that I had mentioned are The Essential Pro-Life Argument, Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing, and both of them address the issue of pro-life, the shifting definition of pro-life. And the other one is called What Does It Mean to Be Pro-Life? They're both at the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. We got links to them both there. Here's a comment about the parable of the dishonest steward.
Pastor Todd, I have a question about the dishonest manager. Dr. Winger, in his commentary on Ephesians, notes that a steward has the full authority of the master of the household to administer its goods for the well-being of its members. Now, God is the master. He is just and merciful. He is generous. The problem wasn't that the steward was unjust. He charged the market rate. The problem was that he wasn't generous. We get what we don't deserve. God gives us gifts through his stewards. God does not charge the market rate. The steward was not unjust. He was not generous as the master was generous. We receive God's gifts along a vertical axis and then distribute them along a horizontal axis. God forgives me. This is the vertical axis. And then I forgive others along the horizontal axis. God gives me money along the vertical axis, and then how do I spend that along the horizontal axis? So I am wondering if the problem with the steward was not that he was unjust, it's just that he wasn't generous as God was generous. Thank you.
Well, I think it's actually both, because unjust is just a... The actual original description of it is the unrighteous steward. So it's both. I don't think it's an either or thing, because, and I'll say it this way, because Jesus is teaching what kind of justice God exercises in his mercy. He exercises a kind of justice in his mercy. In order for a debt to be forgiven of the magnitude of this steward, this master is going to suffer great loss. He is out the billions of dollars owed him by the steward, and yet he forgives the debt. So he sacrifices. This element of showing a kind of justice that is centered in mercy, where he judges, it's a kind of justice. He judges this man debt-free. And if he judges the man debt-free, it costs him. But the man becomes the entire beneficiary of these things, right? The steward becomes the beneficiary of it. He becomes debt-free because the master judges him to be debt-free. He forgives the debt. Now, is this an act of generosity and mercy? Of course it is. The fact that the steward does not act likewise, and I like your the way you talk about the two different axes of action here, God's action toward us in the vertical and our action toward our neighbors in the horizontal— what does the master see there? The master sees there that this forgiveness that he has exercised over the unrighteous steward has had zero impact, has had zero effect on him, that he will not then go and, having been forgiven a great debt, forgive his brother of a paltry debt. And then justice comes in its other form in that parable, doesn't it? It comes in the form of the debt being reinstated in all of its magnitude. It's reinstated against him because he was unwilling to forgive as he had been forgiven. So I don't think it's a question of either justice, because justice is at work here. It's just God's kind of justice versus kind of just a pure accounting kind of justice. Pure accounting kind of justice would have just said, pay it back. You got to pay it back. It's that simple. But God's kind of justice is sacrificing himself, suffering a loss himself so that the debt might be forgiven. When that is not reciprocated with the neighbor, it shows that it's not that the guy didn't deserve. He never deserved to have his debt forgiven. It just simply shows that he didn't realize he'd been forgiven the debt. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller introducing the books of the Bible. Today we'll be in Ruth.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.